But right away, the Institute of Public Affairs has outraged the Public Service Union with its proposals, which would see about 24,000 public service jobs axed, whole departments axed, including general research to be cut by 40%, foreign aid to be cut by 40%. The National Disability Insurance Scheme will get first stage assistance only, and the ABC and SBS will be privatised. Now, you may be nodding furiously, or you may just be furious. Happy to hear from you this afternoon. 1300 681 666, and the SMS is 0467 922 666. The Twitter handle, as you know, is at 666 Canberra. 20 degrees in town. Dr. Alan Moran is the director of the deregulation unit at the Institute of Public Affairs and joins me this afternoon. Thanks for taking our call. Hello.
Hi, Alex.
Who is this paper for?
The paper is really setting an agenda about what should be done to start seriously slimming down an oversized public sector. We've seen the government seeking to actually reduce levels of in the public service by efficiency dividends of 1 or 2% per year, but really to actually eat into the oversized nature of the public sector, you've got to really start talking about getting rid of some of the programs. And we went through the programs. Programs other than the health, education, and welfare programs, which are obviously much more difficult to cut than others, and went through those, looking for the ones which we thought were least valuable, and in some cases have negative value added.
And top of your list, there are Commonwealth programs. Is a 40% cut to foreign aid?
Yes, foreign aid basically. Where we see foreign aid coming, it's more than a 40% cut. We see foreign aid basically as two sorts of components, or two or three components. And one is what we call development aid, and the other is emergency assistance. The development aid we've seen for 40 or 50 or 60 years now, it produces no benefit whatsoever. Those countries that have shown rapid growth in recent years, I'm talking about India and China and Vietnam, etc., have done so substantially without any aid. Whereas those countries, and we can think of Pacific Island countries and many in Africa, which have been in receipt of huge amounts of aid, are going nowhere. So basically, aid often just means employment of public servants or of consultants from the aid donor country, and often is the wrong sorts of equipment and supplies to foster the development of the country. So yes, we'd see foreign aid being cut back to emergency aid and let the countries themselves grow up by their own bootstrings, as we've seen in China and before that in Hong Kong and Taiwan, etc.
You would cut general research by 40%.
Yes, there's an awful lot of research which basically is what you might call social research into families. I mean, there's a whole set of grants on the
aging population.
Yes, on matters like that. These are matters which are pieces of research which are being conducted worldwide, are being conducted in universities in any case, and we don't need specific grants for them. The grants tend to go to people who are, let's say, have got the same social proclivities as those who are handing out the grants, and tend to be in favour of more and more government intervention.
And looking to the departments that you'd abolish, and top of the list there is climate change and energy efficiency.
Well, I think that's a bit of a no-brainer. That's going anyway under the Abbott government. I think even the present government is cutting it back quite substantially.
But is that a no-brainer for your institute? Because you're funded by Gina Reinhardt, aren't you?
No.
Are you a subsidiary? Do you get support from Gina Reinhardt?
I don't know where we get support from. I don't believe we get support, or at least I don't believe.
So you have no connection to Gina Reinhardt at all?
No. Is this about me, or is this about public service?
But in terms of your institute, though, because
our institute gets the support. We have about 3,000 members, in fact, more than that, I think, now, all of whom give us support, all of whom are valued. They give support in anything from $100 to thousands of dollars.
And you,
basically, our support comes from individuals.
And from the individual of Gina Reinhardt, do you get quite a big amount of support there?
I don't know.
Okay. All right. But in terms of climate change, you don't accept climate science, do you, personally?
It's irrelevant whether we accept it or not. Essentially, our view is that climate it makes no difference what Australia does in a world where the rest, where nobody else is doing anything. What we have is a situation where no other country except the European Union, no substantial country, is undertaking the sort of draconian taxes that we have in Australia. It makes no difference for Australia to undertake this sort of program because the climate is a global issue. If, when, some people say, the whole world in a consensus decides that they are going to do something about climate change, then Australia must also do so. There is no point in leading the way. It was said under Kevin Rudd that we will lead the way, others will follow. Nobody's following. They're dropping back.
You'd also cut research and development to agriculture, fisheries and forestry.
Yes, we believe that that sort of research and development ought to be undertaken by the industries themselves, not from government agencies. A great deal of the more important research in those areas is undertaken by companies like Monsanto and others who do it commercially and seek to sell the products.
Dr. Alan Moran is with me, Director of the Deregulation Unit at the Institute of Public Affairs. You would also privatise SBS and the ABC?
Yes.
Why?
Well, I mean, there's plenty of news outlets in the country at the present time.
We're a country of media diversity.
You don't think so?
Well, I ask you, do you think we are?
I think we are. And there's plenty of media outlets in the internet and the ABC and SBS, if they have a product, and I believe they have got a product which people value, they will find readily available funds to support their programs.
Dr. Alan Moran, you're okay to take some calls this afternoon?
Sure.
Oh, thanks so much. And we've got Arthur on the line. Arthur, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I think the hit list is interesting, but particularly I find the hit list for the ABC to be particularly interesting. I think the ABC is absolutely essential. It's essential that it remain independent, and if it has to go out for funding, it will no longer be so. It will be beholden to the funders, and that's the situation with the commercial television and commercial radio. We do not want that, and I think a major part of the problem with these people is that both branches of the Liberal Party have similar policies, where they have policies at all, and the only independent policy information we get in this country, because the politicians aren't doing it, is the ABC. And that's why they want to get rid of the ABC. And frankly, they can just go away under a rock somewhere. We own the ABC. They have no right to sell it. It's ours.
Back to you, Alan Moran.
Well, that sounds like a pretty great promo for yourselves there at the ABC.
I just threw it open to listeners, Alan Moran.
I know you did. The ABC is a valued organisation. A lot of people would support it. That person would support it. He would be listening to it all the time. He, on the basis of his support and the fact he's a consumer, people would be able to sell advertising. In the same way as Nine does, in the same way as Seven does, and in the same way as Fox and Ten do. All of these companies have to make a living in the market. Basically, the ABC is reliant on a different market, that is a political market, and as long as it's reliant on a political market, it too is going to be somewhat beholden to politicians.
Reading this your suggested cuts, you would come away thinking, gosh, we're a very high-spending country, but in fact, aren't we the third lowest in the OECD? We're not a high-spending or high-taxing country.
There's a lot of ways to do that, but that's not quite accurate. But nonetheless, we are relatively low-spending by European standards. We've got about 36, 37% of our GDP, which is government. They've got as much as 50% in some cases. But, you know, the thing is that we can make those sorts of comparisons, but we have to bear in mind that many of those European countries are showing very severe economic problems as a result of the overreach of government.
Alan Moran, would you be in favour of the Move North, the program to move north?
What does that mean?
I'm just asking, we had a proposal coming out recently about the northern option. Is that something that the IPA is in favour of?
We're very much in favour of northern development. We're not in favour of government putting money into northern development. We're in favour of government removing some of the regulations, for example, preventing dams and various other things which have stopped northern development in recent years. We've got a vast treasure trove in northern Australia. not only of minerals but of agriculture as well, and it's well placed to be serving these booming markets of India and China, etc.
But wouldn't that require quite a lot of government support? It'd be a big spend to develop the north.
I don't think so.
What about tax breaks to the big end of town? What's your view about that?
What do you mean by tax breaks? You mean,
well, the tax breaks that the big end of town get, for instance, on research and development, should that go?
I don't know that that's the big end of town. That's everybody who gets there are research and development grants, and and you can write off expenditure from profits if you undertake research and development in the same way as if you undertake other activities. I don't see those as breaks to the big end of town.
And how seriously do you think this list will be taken, Alan Moran, or will it be seen as very ideological?
Well, basically, we don't see this as ideological. We see this as a sensible trawling through government spending and seeing what can and should be removed. How seriously will it be? Well, I think the finance minister was basically saying she didn't take it seriously, that she basically thinks it's a stalking horse for the Abbott government, which is untrue. And that's a bit disappointing, really, coming from the minister who's responsible for ensuring we have good value in our expenditure and for deregulation. She calls herself the Minister for Deregulation. So I think it's being treated seriously in that way, but it's actually being used as somewhat of a stick to bash political opponents.
Now, I'm not just taking these calls, Alan Moran, because they're about the ABC, but the next two calls have come in about the ABC. Are you okay to take a couple of more calls?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm happy to talk about it.
Okay, Tony's on the line. Tony, hello.
Oh, hi there, yeah. Yes, I'd just like to say, some years ago I lived in Canada, and the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting equivalent of the ABC in those days, was very good. I returned there fairly recently and was told that ever since they allowed advertising on the CBC, it's just not worth watching anymore. It's just like another brainless commercial channel. And another observation is with the United States. Now, Americans are exactly the same people as us, basically, but as everyone who goes there notices, the public there seems to be terribly uninformed about current affairs and world affairs.
Right. So you would be against any...
Yes. I think it's because they've never had a decent public broadcaster in the States. I think that's the reason why they seem to be terribly ignorant of world affairs there.
Tony, thanks for your thoughts this afternoon. Dr. Alan Moran, thanks for yours. Did you want to respond to that?
I just responded in a sense. We already have advertising in SBS, and many people think it's even better as a result of that. US, I don't see any evidence that they're less well-informed than about world affairs than others. They're more informed about their own country than they are about other countries, but I bet that's the same in every country in the world.
All right. Alan Moran, I appreciate you coming on today.
Okay.
Thanks so much. Dr. Alan Moran, who's Director of the Deregulation Unit at the Institute of Public Affairs, and joining me to respond, and he'll yell at me if I say this is a left-right kind of response, but Dr. Richard Dennis is the Chief Executive of the Australia Institute, but we'll put you on the other side of the political spectrum.
Well, let's start with what we agree with. It's interesting that they've called for the complete abolition of foreign aid. So $5 billion a year, they want to completely abolish foreign aid.
Except for emergency, I think they've given us a little bit of...
Well, interestingly, Australia has a unique approach to accounting where we treat mandatory detention, both onshore and offshore, as part of our foreign aid program. So I'm all for scrapping that. And it seems the IPAR too. But apart from that, it's hard to tell whether to be amused or alarmed by these proposals. I mean, they really are preposterous for the federal government to not want to spend anything on housing when the IPA supports rapid population growth. Well, if we're going to bring a lot of people to the country every year, where are they going to live? How can we, he says climate change, which he doesn't actually believe in. is an international problem, well, how can we work on a world stage if we're not going to support other countries by getting rid of foreign aid? So he's, you know, he's entirely contradictory in his approach to these things. And look, and I guess for me as a Canberran, you know, when a carbon tax or a mining tax is suggested, someone's going to lose their jobs. It's a political nightmare. Oh, imagine a government policy where someone loses their jobs. These guys want 24,000 people to be sacked. Full government policy. What about their families?
And I noticed Gary Humphries is far saying his response was that the coalition was sticking by its policy to reduce the public service by 12,000 positions by natural attrition.
Oh, only 12. All right, well, but again, if a carbon tax is going to cost a job, if a mining tax is going to cost a job, it's some sort of social and economic disaster. If 12,000 people lose their jobs in Canberra, and apparently that's good economics and good public policy. So Australia's one of the lowest tax countries in the world. Alan made the point that Europe's not doing so well. Well, the Northern Europeans are doing fantastically well, and they've got the highest tax to GDP ratios in the world. So, yeah, as I said, I'm not sure if it's alarming or amusing. A bit of both, I think.
You're on 666. Richard Dennis has joined me in response to the Institute of Public Affairs. Thoughts on how you would save, I think it's $23.5 billion a year.
I could do that for them, Alex. I mean, we're going to spend $50 billion to build 12 new submarines to replace the six we haven't used yet. Let's get rid of the Joint Strike Fighter. I mean, if these guys were half serious about saving taxpayers' money, you'd look at defence procurement. You know, on the one hand, they say we shouldn't tackle climate change because the risks are uncertain and are in the future. Well, no one knows who we're going to invade.
What about Alan Moran's point about cutting a lot of departments because the universities are doing that kind of R&D anyway?
Look, R&D, if government R&D policy is working well, it's stimulating the kind of research and development that companies aren't doing. Of course the private sector does research and development. The ice cream companies are out there figuring out new flavours right now, and that's fantastic. But that's not actually going to solve a lot of the problems that government-sponsored research and development is doing. So private sector does research and development, private sector does media. It doesn't mean there's not a public sector role to do different types of both of those things. Mm.
And just on the, you know, developing the North question, is there a real tension for the coalition? Because you've got Joe Hockey doing the sort of small government thing, and then you've got Tony Abbott saying, oh, you know, this is, you know, great sort of thinking, and why not take a look at that? That would be big spending, wouldn't it?
Well, and to take them at their own word, if the market is so good, the market would go up there and private people would go and build these dams that Alan wants to talk about. I mean, he's happy to spend enormous amounts of taxpayers' money building dams up in areas where we've tried this before. Does anyone remember the Ord River? We have tried northern development before, and it's intriguing to me, the political compromise that's built into this. On the one hand, you know, you've got small government markets are great institutions out there pushing for big public support for this northern development. If you proposed a multifunction polis, they'd laugh you out of the room. But go and build something up in the north, and they love it at the moment.
A few tweets have come through. John Hanna has tweeted saying the IPA interview is painful. Fact-free thought bubbles. David Spencer says IPA report for the right recommends privatising ABC. SBS caller Arthur, we own the ABC. They have no right to sell it.
Well, interestingly on that, I mean, once upon a time, the IPA used to support competition policy. Now, in Australia, the media is very highly concentrated in the hands of News Limited. And at the moment, the media wants to further consolidate its ownership. And that's what part of what's happening in Parliament at the moment is about. So once upon a time, these groups liked competition policy because they thought having lots of competitors would be good for us. Now it seems they're pursuing monopoly policy, and you know the idea that we don't need the ABC as a vibrant competitor to a very concentrated news media is rather alarming.
Mm. But in terms of serious discussion. Is this a good contribution to it?
No, because, you know, I think this simple idea that public spending is either good or bad doesn't help anybody. I mean, if the IPA wanted to really help, it would be great for them to say, look, given that we need more teachers, more nurses and more aged care workers, we've come up with a specific proposal how we could redesign the public service so there are fewer people doing the tasks that are low value and more people doing the tasks that are high value. If they wanted to put some serious effort in to say, well, we've thought about bureaucratic redesign and here's a way that we could do more with less, not just for some absurd, simple savings objective, but to free up resources to do what's clearly needed.
And who's the Australia Institute funded by, Richard Dennis?
It's funded by guilty wealthy people who, like your good self, Alex. You can put your hand in your pocket, you can donate to us right now.
It's, put me in the wealthy bracket. If I ask the question about Gina Rinehart too.
No, she's not a donor. We respect everybody's privacy, but the Australia Institute's entirely funded philanthropically. You know, we don't get money from government. We get money from people who feel a sense that they're willing to support an institution that does something in the public good.
Richard Dennis, I appreciate you coming in to respond.
Thank you.
And Dr. Richard Dennis is Chief Executive of the Australia Institute. 29 to 2 news headlines time, and a very good afternoon to Julian Abbott.